The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Bill, not only do they not want officers checking the drop boxes to see there's no shenanigans, they don't want any video surveillance. What does that tell you, and what are you going to do about this?
Well, Jesse, what it tells me is that the Democrats' playbook includes cheating, and they're not even trying to hide it. It is illegal to ballot harvest. It is illegal to drop off more than one ballot at a time. And as you mentioned, the Secretary of the Commonwealth is now threatening the district attorney of Lehigh County because he simply wants to enforce the law. He doesn't want people dropping off more than one ballot. And so this is absolutely outrageous, but that's their plan. Their plan is to cheat.
That is Jesse Waters, the Fox News host. He's back from a little hiatus. I guess he had some surgery done on his back. But there he is interviewing the gubernatorial candidate in Pennsylvania. That's a significant state, is it not? His name's Bill McSwain. He's the Republican candidate. And he's talking about how his Democratic opponents, they don't want any kind of video surveillance on the drop boxes. And they don't want any kind of law enforcement officials monitoring what happens around the drop boxes. Democrats in Pennsylvania, they don't want any kind of observation of what's going on around the ballot boxes. And I love how Jesse Waters says now, what are you going to do about it? Yeah, that's a good question. And I wonder if there's a recent election where for the first time in American history, tens of millions of ballots mailed out all over the country, some to five, six, seven of them to one mailbox, and then drop boxes, thanks to Mark Zuckerberg, George Soros, they start popping up all over the country. And what are we going to do about it now that that's been exposed? They've been caught on video. That was 18 months ago. Here's Fox News thinking about 6 months from now, 6 months into the future. But we can't go back and look at what happened in 2020. Well, they're dancing all around the movie 2000 Mules. But here is yet another example of Fox News touching on the subject, but ever so carefully. Can't mention Dinesh D'Souza. Can't mention 2000 Mules, and you certainly can't mention that the 2020 election was, in fact, stolen. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. To get to the live video stream, however, you have to go to our very own website. That's thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com. You can go trumpet.com/live. Takes you direct to the live stream page and also to the podcast that we post after the fact. But the front page of the website, thetrumpet.com, also has a little box over to the right for this particular program. So whether you listen live or whether you listen on demand or view on demand, we're happy, as I say, to have you joining our audience. The thing about 2000 Mules, the movie by Dinesh D'Souza, and he put it best a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, saying that you actually see the criminals, you actually see them breaking into Fort Knox. You actually see them pulling off the heist, the steal. They were caught, in other words, caught red-handed. One, two, there's your image. Four, five, and then he's off to another stash house to get more ballots before he goes to another ballot box. It's all caught on cell phone technology and on video. All of this evidence. Now, listen again to Jesse Waters, this short snippet from his exchange last night with Bill McSwain. Listen to Jesse's take on this sort of election. This is clip 3.
I think the ballot boxes are just ripe for fraud. Everybody knows that with common sense.
Everybody with common sense knows this? Really? Wow, I mean, that's an explosive statement. Because in case you didn't know, because of COVID, because of the 2020 election, during the COVID lockdown era, we had ballot boxes all over the country, especially in these swing states, especially in these swing county districts. And there's Jesse Waters saying, to his credit, I mean, like I said last week, you can give Tucker a little bit of credit for at least going there. But in going there, this time, another Fox host goes to 6 months ahead. Can't really. He's back after 2 weeks off. He can't really. This is the 2 weeks, by the way, in which the premiere of 2000 Mules happened. And not a mention. So yet another example of a Fox News host talking about everything, covering everything except the elephant in the room. Isn't that amazing? Everything except the obvious fraud that actually swung the election over to the fake president, Joe Biden. No mention, as I say. No mention of 2,000 Mules. No mention of Dinesh D'Souza. Nothing. Well, I mean, Dinesh, he's trying to promote his movie. He's trying to make money on the downloads. He tried to make money on the premiere. Well, yeah, he's a filmmaker. Every filmmaker is trying to make money. And maybe some on Fox would say, well, we're certainly not going to try to give him any free advertising. We're not going to bring him on our show and just promote his video. Why would we do that? Well, look at what happens routinely on these shows. I mentioned the example of Mark Esper yesterday saying that he's probably out. I didn't have time to look into it, but he's probably out now with the big 60 Minutes reveal. He's probably out promoting his own book. And sure enough, as several of you emailed me just after the show, yes, he is. And so he's making the rounds. Donald Trump's former defense secretary, he's making the rounds. He's on 60 Minutes. He's on Fox News. Yeah. He's on with Bret Baier yesterday. This morning, he's on with Morning Joe. He's on with Mika, Joe Scarborough, Bret Baier, Nora O'Donnell. I forget her last name half the time. But he's on all the shows. He's making the rounds. You know why? Because he's promoting his book. His book is about his take on that year and a half that he worked for Donald Trump. And so Fox is going to let him at least talk, right? Why? To promote his book. That's what it's about. So they have him on. They invite him on, as does CBS, as does MSNBC. I mean, he gets a, whether you agree with his book or not, I mean, he at least gets a voice, right? Well, what about Dinesh D'Souza? Okay, so you agree with him? You don't agree with him? He's one of the most popular documentary filmmakers in American history. The one he did on Obama many years ago, it made $33 million. That's one of the highest grossing documentaries in history. And as I said to you yesterday, he makes the rounds on some Fox stations or some Fox programs. Laura Ingraham in particular, he's on with her almost until this movie. He's on with her almost every week. Every week. Can you believe it? But not now. Not now. Now, you see, there's a blot out. Now there's censorship. That's what it is. Call it what it is. It's very similar to what Twitter did with Donald Trump following the so-called insurrection, the hoax of January 6th. D'Souza gets around to this particular film, and all of a sudden, it's crickets on Fox News. The reason 2,000 Mules is being ignored, and as I said last week, it's becoming harder and harder to ignore this film because the discussion about it is all over social media, and as Dinesh D'Souza said himself yesterday, I mean, Elon Musk buying Twitter, or at least finalizing the agreement to buy Twitter last week, it comes at a perfect time. Because now the discussion can be not just on Rumble and some of these other, you know, sites that aren't quite as popular as Twitter, but now it's right there on Twitter. All the tweets. All the tweets yesterday tweets like from Dinesh saying that, you know, when Engelbrecht went on Tucker last week, she was told by Tucker's producers not to bring up the movie 2000 Mules. Can you believe that? I don't know if Tucker has come out with any kind of a response, but his producers telling her, the True the Vote lady, look, You can come on and talk about the ballot boxes and the technology you use to catch these people in the act, but you cannot talk about Dinesh D'Souza's film. The film that actually brings the whole story together, powerfully so, in 90 minutes. That's what was missing from all of the symposiums and 3-day seminars that Mike Lindell had last year. You need someone, a good storyteller, to come in and to sum it all up. And to make it powerful and to make it visual. And D'Souza did that. And so that's why the radical left has worked so hard to scrub this. They can't very well scrub it, so they just ignore it. Or they try to replace it with the Roe v. Wade leak. But what's astounding to me is that those on the right, the conservative right, would also try to ignore. Why is there this intense effort to ignore this movie? And the answer to that is because it's true. It's because they can't answer it. They can't refute it. You can't sit down and watch it for 90 minutes. The fact checkers haven't even done this at Politico and AP and wherever else. They just looked at the trailer and then they came along with the same familiar refrain that we heard even before the election. No evidence, no evidence, no evidence, no evidence of election fraud. The evidence is right there in front of your eyeballs. It's right there for everyone to see. They have no idea how to handle this, and so they're trying to ignore it. How long can that continue? Is it sustainable? Can they continue to, even as they talk about the obvious strategy of Democrats in the forthcoming midterm elections, take Pennsylvania. Jesse Waters on this segment last night said that Donald Trump lost because of Pennsylvania. He lost the election. So in the same segment that he says Biden won because of this state, he's talking about all this election fraud going on, not in 2020, in this upcoming election, the gubernatorial election, the midterm election. There's going to be all kinds of voter fraud. Why? Well, because Bill McSwain, he's the Republican candidate, and he's saying, look, this is in their playbook. They don't want any video surveillance. Why? Think about this for a moment. Again, just ignore the elephant in the room for a moment. Why would they be so concerned about video surveillance all of a sudden? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Because that's what Dinesh D'Souza, well, True the Vote, I should say. True the Vote got the video surveillance and then the cell phone ping technology. There's already reports that these Democratic operatives are going to be telling their mules, don't take your cell phone. Where. So that's why this election from 2020 is so important. Everything flows out from it, as I've been saying. You know the mules aren't going to be carrying their cell phones in future elections because that's what got them caught in the last one. These people aren't stupid. They spread out the cheating all over the place because they don't want to get caught. They were caught in 2020. And I'll just echo what Jesse Waters said last night. What are you going to do about it? That's a good question. Because you've got a powerful platform. So does Tucker. So do a lot of people. And yet look at how quickly they just toe the line. Okay, we'll let you talk, and this is from the Fox higher-ups, you know, Paul Ryan and all the others up there, I forget the name of the family, Rupert Murdoch, his sons, all the people on the board. They don't want you going there. You can talk about election fraud as long as it's about any other, and think about, too, what this tells you. You can talk about any kind of election fraud except for the fraud that got Donald Trump out of office. What does that tell you about the real target here? The target is Jeroboam. 2 Kings 14 says that Satan's objective here is to blot out even the name of Israel. And it says God intervenes to save Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. So you see You see who the radical left is targeting. You see who the rhino right is targeting. It's Donald Trump. And all of the ones out there selling their books, Bill Barr, I can't vote for Donald Trump again. Esper said the same thing yesterday. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to vote for Donald Trump. Maybe I'll vote for Mike Pompeo. How long before Mike Pompeo comes out? Yeah, I'm not going to be able to vote for Donald Trump. It's just one man standing up for the truth. It's just one man willing to talk about the obvious elephant in the room. It's right out there in front of us. As you've heard already from some of the clips we've played in the last couple of weeks, never had the United States seen an election process like the one we had in 2020. And if we're to believe what Jesse Waters said just last night, ballot boxes and all these floating ballots to be mailed in, it just makes it ripe for fraud. Well, we certainly agree with that, Jesse, for sure. Speaking of Mark Esper, listen to what he said last night with Brett Baer, clip 5.
Do you think Donald Trump was a threat to democracy?
I think that given the events of January 6th, given how he has undermined the election results, he incited people to come to D.C., stirred them up that morning and failed to call them off. To me, that threatens our democracy.
So, yes.
I think the answer would be, what else can you conclude, Brett?
And again, no offense to Brett Baer. I'm sure he's a good reporter. But his team was probably pretty happy with themselves coming up with that pretty direct question. The one that, you know, is going to make the rounds on social media. Do you think Donald Trump was a threat to democracy? And Esper immediately responds with, it's so predictable. January 6th. Hey, Donald Trump incited the mob. Donald Trump didn't call them off. You know, here's a suggestion to Brett Baer's producers. How about some follow-up questions after the one that you just heard right there? Yes, thank you for your response, Mr. Esper. Why were the protesters showing up at the Capitol on January 6th? What was going on inside the Capitol that day? What about the 100 congresspeople that were actually going to protest the results of the presidential election because of all of these reports of voter fraud? 100 congressmen and women? Did they get their, were they able to present their evidence as the Constitution allows? And oh, by the way, Mr. Esper, have you seen or heard anything about Dinesh D'Souza's movie 2000 Mules? We're talking about video surveillance and smartphone ping technology that tracks these mules. And I'm wondering, I know you were the Secretary of Defense, but I mean, you've said recently you worked with General Milley, and I would imagine you would have had a close relationship with Bill Barr over at the DOJ. Was this ever investigated? Was this ever looked into? None of that. It's so easy, isn't it, for Brett Baer to just say, is Donald Trump a threat to democracy? You know who the threat to democracy is? The man he's interviewing right there. And, you know, really, if we're honest, it's the people at these news organizations as well. It's true. Some of the reports, some of the segments, you hear the clips on this show. There's some teams of producers and reporters that do good work. But on Jeroboam, that's got to be blotted out. It's not even, as I say, it's not even about blotting out this election steal talk from 2020. It's about getting rid of Donald Trump. That's what they all wanted. And as I've said from the beginning, we said this in the first night or the first week after the election, Fox News was in on it. Fox News was the first to call Arizona when it was just a razor-thin margin. Fox News wasn't sounding the alarm when all five of those states just stopped counting mysteriously. Oh, yes. They cheated in other ways than just the mules. Don't think it's just the mules here. The mules, if you're watching Dinesh D'Souza's movie, you, the mules, this is happening in the lead up to the election. And then we get to Election Day, November 3rd, 2020, and what happens? Donald Trump is still comfortably in the lead. So what do they have to do? They have to shut down everything and then pull out all the stops. All the stops. And then the vans start coming in. Forget about the mules dropping five or six ballots in the boxes. You've got truckloads of ballots that show up. And all the leads that Donald Trump had the night of November 3rd, they evaporated just like that the next day. They knew the counts. All of those red counties, they turned in their results. They were honest results for the most part. They knew what the figure was. They knew how many votes Donald Trump had, and they knew what threshold they had to cross in order to pull off the steal. So here comes Mark Esper. He worked for Donald Trump. He was appointed by Donald Trump. And he's there saying he could never, in good conscience, vote for Donald Trump again. He doesn't have enough integrity, Donald Trump. In fact, while he was working for Donald Trump, the commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, he was doing everything he could to stop Donald Trump and his policies. He said that on 60 Minutes, played the clips yesterday. So there he is out there admitting to treason, admitting he was trying to prevent the commander-in-chief, duly elected, to prevent him from exercising the responsibilities of his office. Listen to him again from yesterday, clip six.
I think there are a number of Republicans out there that can become the next president in 2024. Republicans who will not just advance a traditional Republican agenda of lower taxes and a stronger military and border security and things like that, but can do so in a way that not only grows the Republican base, but can bring the country together. That's what we need.
Is your old classmate from West Point, Mike Pompeo, one of them?
Mike could be. I think we have to see whether Mike's going to run and what positions he'll take. And will he be able to chart a path different from Donald Trump?
Aha, your old classmate. There he is. There he is, so quick to endorse Mike Pompeo. It's got to be someone other than Trump, because Trump is a divider, not a uniter. Nobody, I don't even need to get into it. The popularity of Donald Trump, the people that turn out to his campaign rallies. But there he is saying what every other pundit has said in another boring book that bashes Donald Trump. It can be anybody else but Donald Trump. What about your old classmate, Mike Pompeo? Well, now we have to wait and see if he runs, but I like the sounds of this. Yeah, so does Fox News. Anybody but Trump. ABBT. How about that? ABBT. Anybody but Trump. It's got to be anybody but him, because he's not a man of integrity, says Esper. Says the man who's guilty of treason. In his own words. This is switching back to Jesse's segment. Here's that Pennsylvania gubernatorial candidate, Bill McSwain, again, talking about the Democrat playbook, clip two.
So why do you even have drop boxes in Pennsylvania? Why can't you just put the thing in a mailbox?
We really shouldn't have drop boxes, and drop boxes are not part of the original statute for mail-in balloting, but the Democrats and the democratically controlled Supreme Court instituted drop boxes. And again, it's all part of their playbook. It's almost like the Democrats act like it's illegal to enforce the law, which is completely backwards. The district attorney in Lehigh County just wants to enforce the law. He said, you're not going to be allowed to ballot harvest and drop off multiple ballots. And this has caused a temper tantrum on the left.
And that should tell you something.
It tells you about the left, but it also tells you about the impact of Dinesh D'Souza's movie. They don't want video surveillance. Not this time. Not this time. So going in, you can just imagine this. COVID's there. Okay, we got COVID. Now we can put in the drop boxes and we can send out tens of millions of ballots. How are we going to get sort of a bipartisan agreement here? Well, all right, we've never done this before. We're going to send out the tens of millions of ballots, but look, we want to make sure this is carefully monitored. So we're going to make sure that we videotape all of these drop boxes. And in the case of the upcoming election, no doubt because of what happened in the last one, you've got some law enforcement officials saying, look, we'll be on hand to even monitor the process to make sure people are obeying the law. What could be wrong with this? Democrat officials say, well, this could discourage some people from coming to vote. Right, the mules, that is, with their 5, 10, 15, 20 ballots per drop. So satanic. Blot out even the name of Israel. That's right. Here they're working feverishly to try to cheat like they've been doing for years. It wasn't just 2020. It was just made so easy in 2020. And then you have all of these executives, even higher ups at Fox News, just completely compromised with the radical left. Talking like Esper, talking about unity as if they can come together with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and sort of build this coalition that unify. Biden said he was going to do that when he came in at his fake inauguration. I'm here as a uniter. I'm not the president of one party. I'm the president of the whole nation. And now he's talking about all of Trump's supporters being the most extreme radical organization in American history. That didn't take very long for their true colors to be revealed. And yet still, you've got rhinos galore saying, look, we just want to compromise and come together and bring everybody together. And if as part of that healing process, we don't even talk about the election steal, we'll do it. We'll move on. Now, we are going to talk about stealing the 2000, because that's serious. That's serious. And like Jesse Waters said, I mean, what are you going to do about it, Mr. McSwain? I played this shorter version of this earlier from Jesse. Listen to that plus a bit more, clip 4.
I think the ballot boxes are just ripe for fraud. Everybody knows that with common sense. And the fact that they're squealing like stuck pigs tells me they're up to something.
That's interesting because you know what they were doing after the election steal on November 3rd? Also squealing like stuffed pigs. No evidence. Don't bring it up. Got to be blotted out. Hey, you bring up election steal, we're going to remove you from social media. And then the radical left pulled off, I mean, the real nail in the coffin with respect to any discussion of election steal. You have the insurrection hoax. Now, I mean, we can't talk about the election steal. We can't talk about the legitimacy of the election. That's what Donald Trump was doing on January 6th, and look at what it led to. They tried to Esper said yesterday that they were trying to overthrow the government. I mean, it's unbelievable. That 4-hour protest that went awry with law enforcement officials opening the doors of the Capitol saying, yeah, come on in, take your selfies and so on. Hardly an insurrection. It might have been a few other things. A protest that turned violent in a few areas. But hey, let's talk about, as far as follow-up questions are concerned, Mr. Esper, do you have anything to say about these reports that there were FBI officials and informants inside the January 6th protest? And do you know, just as a follow-up question to that question, do you know why some of those FBI agents, or at least ones that seem like they were FBI agents, Ray Epps, for example, there's still a bit of a mystery around him. Do you know why they haven't been arrested when others that went in for 10 minutes and took a selfie are still languishing in prison? Do you have any comments on that? Dinesh D'Souza, he was talking yesterday on his podcast about the success of his documentary. Even in the midst of this blotting out, this 2 weeks of trying to blot out his film, he tweeted yesterday, I'm sorry to say, Tucker Carlson and his team specifically instructed Catherine Engelbrecht of True the Vote not to mention the movie. So you can come on to our show, said Tucker's team, but you cannot mention the movie. Why would they say this? Or if Dinesh is being dishonest, maybe we'll hear from Tucker and his team. But why? I suspect he's right. Because as I told you right from the start, Good for Tucker, but how weird that on premiere week of 2000 Mules, the documentary that actually exposes this fraud and that features Miss Engelbrecht is not even mentioned. It's not even mentioned. Not even at the end. Well, thank you for this segment, Miss Engelbrecht. And by the way, because, you know, we do want to publicize Esper's book. He comes on and he's on the book tour. And, you know, whether you agree with his book or not, we do want to give him a chance, a platform to at least promote what he's producing. None of that. None of that at the end of the segment. Now, just so that you viewers know, Miss Engelbrecht is featured on a movie that came out just this week by Dinesh D'Souza, and it's called 2000 Mules. We'll be right back. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. Don't want to confuse our producers. I want to stay here. Not cutting away to a promo. None of that, though, at the end of that segment with Engelbrecht on Tucker's show. Another tweet by D'Souza. He said, by the way, Newsmax is also blocking coverage of 2000 Mules. I was booked on Grant Stinchfield's Newsmax show, and then the network canceled on me. Criticize the move if you like, but why isn't this a legitimate news story? Criticize the movie if you like, but why isn't this a legitimate news story? How can so-called news networks pretend it doesn't exist? See, it's not even that you have all of these agencies or organizations that strenuously protest against the message of the movie. They're pretending it doesn't exist. It's hard to keep it completely buried, however, when there's so much discussion about it on social media. There was one story from Canada's Western Standard. This is from our news gatherers up in Canada. So far as they know, it's the first news agency that has even reported on this, and it's admittedly a very conservative group. But it says here about the movie and the fact checkers that have denounced the film, calling it a conspiracy. They write, PolitiFact put out an article last Wednesday calling D'Souza a right-wing filmmaker with a history of spreading false claims. These people, they don't even watch the film. Just this grand sweep. It's a history of false claims. Next story. We'll move on to the next story. It says here, D'Souza took a shot at fact-checkers on Sunday on Twitter, suggesting if his claims in the film are false, why do we see mules going to 20, 50, and even 100 drop boxes? See, let's get back to the facts. Let's get back to the video evidence. Why are they going to 20, 50, or 100 drop boxes? And D'Souza said, and also, why is it happening in the middle of the night? Doesn't that seem strange to you, fact checkers at PolitiFact? No. They say he has a history of making false claims. So don't talk about the video. Don't talk about the evidence. Don't tell us that you caught the people trying to break into Fort Knox. We know you. We know it's a politically motivated hit job. We know you're a dirty conservative. Look at what those dirty conservatives on the Supreme Court have done. You're the enemy. You ought to be blotted out. That's the way they approach it. Says Dan Bongino said, panic from media and fact checkers over 2,000 mules is hard evidence that the information in the movie destroys their 2020 election narratives. See, the panic, the cover-up, tells you all that you need to know. It tells you that the film is true. It tells you that it strikes a nerve. It tells you that they don't know how to answer it. This article from Western Standard talks about how that, you know, Rumble, I think in the other place is called Locals or whatever, that's running the film or offering it for download at $20 or $30. But how Rumble has come under attack. It says here, ahead of the release, Rumble took to Twitter with an update that said the site had been under an unprecedented attack. Why a cyber attack on Rumble at this time of all times? They're the platform on which 2000 Mules is presented over at American Thinker. this author talks about, as good as the film is, 2,000 Mules, there were a couple of questions that I believe it's a woman that she felt like were not answered. It says the first was, which left-wing organizations made the fraud happen? Well, hopefully, True the Vote came out with an announcement yesterday, by the way, saying that, hey, we're going to release it all and people can judge for themselves. Some took that to mean that there's no law enforcement agency that's taking them up on looking into this. So all that they can do is publicize the message, the stats, the evidence. In any event, hopefully we'll find more about these stash houses, not just film from the drop boxes themselves, but the houses that were producing these fake ballots by the hundreds and thousands. This one here says, second and more importantly, the movie failed to explain what happened the night of the election. As best I could tell, and I could be completely wrong about this, the mules were operating for days and even weeks before the election, as opposed to frantic drop box fraud the night of the election itself. Assuming my version of events on the night of the election, in all the jurisdictions in which the mules were at work, Trump had a compelling lead as of 11 at night. And then, in each of those jurisdictions, something happened that had never happened before. The counting stopped. When it resumed, Biden was magically in the lead. Did the mules affect those numbers too? Or was it the case that even with the help from the mules, the numbers still didn't add up for Biden, so the Democrats had to go to Plan B? I tend to believe the latter. But Bill Barr, I think he called the Secretary of State up in Michigan, and the Secretary of State assured him that there was no foul play. There was no evidence of voter fraud. And so Barr was happy with that. So obvious. The cheating on a mass scale, Sam and I were emailing back and forth yesterday afternoon, speculating on what Donald Trump must have actually won by. Who knows? We don't need to throw the figures out there. You know he got 74, 75 million. That's for sure. And you know Joe Biden, you certainly know that he didn't get 81 million. If you haven't seen the film, I'd encourage you to view the film, since it's not getting any support really from anyone else, just a few here and there. I mean, he's having to distribute this film on his own with the help of people like Rumble, Locals, True the Vote, you know, names that you probably didn't really know much about a few seconds ago. That's 2,000 Mules by Dinesh D'Souza. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can send comments to td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Yesterday on the show, we talked about the harmony and orderliness of God's creation. We went through, at the end of the segment yesterday, the second segment, we went through the Psalm 19, and noted that there's harmony in the heavens because of God's laws. The heavens declare God's glory, God's creation. It reveals so much about God himself and how that he is a God of law and order. He is lawgiver, it says in James 4. And of course, the lesson that we can take from this, just this lesson all around us, is that if we organize and live our lives according to God's spiritual laws, well, then you're also going to have blessings and harmony and orderliness and peace. Psalm 19 and verse 7, I'll just read these verses again, the ones we ended with yesterday. It says, "The law of the eternal is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the eternal is sure, making wise the simple." You can study through Psalm 119 on your own time and see how educated we become if we just immerse ourselves into the laws of God. The author in Psalm 119 speaks of knowing more than his teachers because of how much he loved God's law. It says here, "The statutes of the eternal are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the eternal is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the eternal is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of God are true and righteous altogether." True, righteous, clean, pure, enlightening the eyes, it says, rejoicing the heart. God's statutes are right. They make the wise, or rather they make the simple wise. The harmony, you see, this is describing the harmony that comes from obeying God's laws. As I was saying on yesterday's show, there's some commentaries that think that, well, Psalm 19, 1 through 6 is talking about the material creation, and then you have a subject change in verse 7. But as my father has explained before, there's no change in subject. Because what the harmony that you see in the universe and the harmony that you see in the life of a true Christian, it's there because of God's holy, just, and perfect laws. This brings honor and glory to God when we obey his laws, and he can begin to produce his character, his way of thinking in our daily lives. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26, this is in the last section of the book. Moses, of course, addressing the people of Israel, telling them how to produce lives of peace and happiness, how to bring blessings into your existence. It always, always, always gets back to God's laws. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 16, it says, "This day the Eternal your God has commanded you to do these statutes and judgments. You shall therefore keep and do them with all your heart and with all your soul." See, God wants us to be obedient from the heart. He's not looking for just a strict letter of the law obedience where we kind of kick and scream against it inside, but where we're just wholeheartedly obeying his commandments. We believe. I mean, we know God's way is right. We know God's way is best. We might know that we're carnal and we trip up from time to time, but we get up and we keep on in our march toward the kingdom. We keep following in those steps of Jesus Christ, as I covered last week. That example, that perfect example that's out there ever before us. Verse 17 in Deuteronomy 26, it says, "You have avouched the Eternal this day to be your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and to hearken unto his voice." It says, and the Eternal, for his part, has avouched, the meaning there is proclaimed or declared. God has declared you this day to be his peculiar people, as he has promised you, and that you should keep all his commandments and to make you high above all nations which he has made in praise and in name and in honor, and that you may be and holy people unto the Eternal your God, as he has spoken. You can look back at Exodus 19 through 24, what God outlined there for the people of Israel anciently, and said, "Now look, I want to make you a special nation, holy and peculiar. And here's the way. Deuteronomy 11, I believe it is, gets into the point of strength and how you can be a strong nation if you obey the laws of God. But then you have to compare that history with what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 about how that God is creating in us, spiritual Israel, his church, the family of God, a peculiar people, a holy people. We're to be holy as God is holy. We're to be pure as God is pure. How do we do that? Well, God's law shows us the way. I read these few verses in Deuteronomy 26. Notice chapter 27. This begins the third and final sermon from Moses' book, Deuteronomy 27. He sets up the subject matter that he covers in Deuteronomy 28, which is a well-known chapter that talks at length about the blessings and the cursings and how that obedience brings blessings and disobedience or sin brings cursings. You put Deuteronomy 28 together with Leviticus 26, and well, Herbert Armstrong expounds upon this in detail in the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. If you don't have that book, that went to 6 million addresses around the world, by the way. The United States and Britain in Prophecy, the toll-free number, if you're in the United States, Canada, or the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3024. Just call our operators today and request the United States and Britain in Prophecy. So I mentioned Deuteronomy 28, but chapter 27 is really what sets up Deuteronomy 28. This is Moses setting up the subject of the blessings and the cursings. And it says here in Deuteronomy 27, we'll begin in verse 1, "And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Eternal your God gives you, that you shall set you up great stones and plaster them with plaster, and you shall write upon them all the words of this law when you are passed over, that you may go in unto the land which the Eternal your God gives you, a land that flows with milk and honey, as the Eternal God of your fathers has promised you." So God, he got all the people involved in this exercise. Earlier in the book, it talks about how that the kings were commanded to write out the law. And, you know, our correspondence course, by the way, is based on this instruction. How valuable it is to just write out those verses, even in your daily study, if you're not working through the Armstrong College Bible correspondence course at the moment. In your daily study, if you have a journal that you use for your Bible study, I mean, write out the verses that really impact you in an especially powerful way. Just give yourself the time and the enjoyment, by the way, of just slowing down, shutting out the distractions, and slowly, if you write like me, you write pretty slow, slowly write out the verse and think on this. Think on these things. I mean, the Bible says that we're supposed to do that anyway. Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. "Whatsoever things are lovely, just, and so on, think on these things," Paul said. How many books are there, by the way, out there today about just how distracted we are? I saw another one just the other day. How that we're losing our focus. We can't concentrate on anything for more than 5-10 seconds before we're off to another thing. We're scrolling away, or we got to look at our phone. Satan really has just bombarded our world with noise, nonstop noise. And we accommodate it in so many ways because we have so many devices. We have so much blaring on inside the car or in the home or whatever. We can't even stand a little bit of silence. God says we should embrace the silence, that we should meditate on the things of God, that we should think on these things. Write it out. How long would this have taken? you know, these big stones, and they put plaster over it so that they could ride on it. I mean, think about going outside and doing it old school. You don't have a stack of sheets of paper, but just carving the law of God into stone. That's a pretty good exercise in really thinking through what you're producing, what you're writing. I suppose it's always possible your mind could drift, but you'd probably notice you had the wrong letter and then caught yourself or catch yourself and think, okay, I better focus so I can at least write it down with the proper spelling. They wrote out a copy of the law for their reference immediately upon entering into the promised land. This was the first day that they set foot into this promised land. Think about that. Why was this important to God? Just switch over to Deuteronomy 11. We'll just look at a few verses here before we get back to chapter 27. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 26, Moses, he's basically just summing up the blessings and cursings instruction here in these few verses. He says, "Behold, I have set before you this day a blessing and a curse." Verse 27 says, "A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Eternal your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which you have not known." See, this is a theme that runs right through the Bible from start to finish. You see it brought out in the psalm, the beautiful psalm, Psalm 19, that we read yesterday and today. The laws of God, that's what brings the harmony and the peace and the joy and the blessings and the prosperity into our lives. If we obey those laws, God says you will be blessed. If we disobey, it will bring curses into our lives. And we've all had to deal with a certain amount of curses because of disobedience. Romans 3 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all make mistakes. We all slip up. And when we do, it catches up with us. It may not smack us in the face, you know, immediately, but eventually it will. There is cause and effect. Our sins will find us out. Jesus said to judge by fruits. By their fruits you shall know them. You know what a farmer's been up to if you just look at his harvest. Look at his field. It's the same thing spiritually. We can't hide the effects of sin. You can try to put a Band-Aid over it. You can try to pretend that it's not a real issue. It is. It always is. Verse 29, Deuteronomy 11, it says, "And it shall come to pass when the Eternal your God has brought you in unto the land where you go to possess it, that you shall put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal." And that's really what Moses expounds upon in chapter 27. Right before he gets into the great detail of these blessings and curses in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. So here you have this visual, these two mountains. The one mountain represented blessings. And another, so they go in, they have to carve out the law on these massive stones. And then there's these two, I mean, they saw all of this right in front of them. Two mountains. One represents blessings, the other represents cursings. And as I say, I mean, this is a theme, a basic theme that just runs right through the Bible. And we'll pick up on that when we get into our Bible study on tomorrow's show or during the next show that we have another study. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to email the program, the address td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.